It's Nancy Thompson from the Bracebridge Horticultural Society with a few tips on how to keep your houseplants happy and healthy over the winter. Now, before you buy a houseplant, make sure your house can provide the amount of light that that plant needs. For example, if you buy a cacti, you'll need a window that provides bright light or have a supplemental light. When you first bring a plant home, it's normal for that plant to drop a few leaves as it gets used to its new space. If lighting is to its liking, it'll soon adjust. Now, plants that can tolerate full sun and bright light usually thrive in south-facing windows. Examples of these are things like cacti, aloe vera, tropical hibiscus, lantana, ponytail palms. Plants that like partial shade or moderate light do best in east or west-facing windows. Examples here are things like fiscus, philodendrons, monstera, and bromelides. And plants that do well in low light will be happy in north-facing windows. Examples such as snake plants, pothos, and many of these can really be put anywhere as long as you keep an eye on them. Most houseplants grown for their flowers need to be within 3 feet of a bright window. Things like African violets, gardenias, orchids. You can use grow lights if you like, and there's a bit more about that later. All plants do require a period of darkness, though, because it's when they do most of their growing. Light exposure should not exceed 16 hours, and that's the same for your sprouting, too. Rotate plants once in a while to encourage even growth and to prevent them from getting too leggy. Plants become acclimatized to light levels, so try not to move them from one light exposure to another very quickly. Make the change gradual if possible, especially if moving a plant from a dark spot to a sunny area. Now, how do you know that your plants are getting enough light? Well, if they're not, the plant will not flower, and it'll show very little new growth, or what is there will be very spindly or leggy growth, and it may lose its lower leaves. On the other hand, if the edges of a plant's leaves scorch, or the leaves bleach out and appear dull, then the light might be too bright or the heat too hot for them. Now, if you don't have a bright window in your home, you can still grow plants that require medium to high light levels. Just place the plant next to the brightest window you have and use artificial lighting to provide extra light. This is especially important in the darker winter months like we have now. Fancy grow bulbs and red-blue LEDs aren't really necessary for your average houseplant, so don't bother spending hundreds on a complicated setup. A daylight or full-spectrum LED light that's equivalent to about 60 watts would provide enough supplemental lighting to grow most plants indoors just fine. To grow flowering or fruiting plants indoors, you might need something a bit stronger. Now, as to watering, believe it or not, more houseplants die from overwatering than anything else. And I often tell people studied neglect is probably the best way to have your houseplants survive. Most houseplants cannot tolerate soil that's always wet. And some succulents, such as cacti or jade, can survive a month or two without watering. So learn the preference of your plants. The first step, of course, is to ensure that the bottom of your pot has got drainage holes in it. Otherwise, you need to repot the plant into a pot that does provide sufficient drainage. And if a plant sits in wet soil for too long, it will develop root rot and die. Now, when to water is just as important as how much, really. And starting in late fall, water houseplants sparingly until the daylight hours begin to increase in the new year. So any time now, you could probably start to water them a bit more. The best time of the day to water is in the morning, except when it's cloudy or rainy outside and if there's no sunlight. Avoid watering on a fixed schedule. Instead, check the soil and water when needed. Water when the roots and the lower two-thirds of the potted soil begin to get dry. Now, you can use all sorts of sophisticated meters and things like this, but basically just push your finger 2 inches down into a pot, sort of a 6-inch pot, and if the soil feels moist, do not water. Repeat until the soil feels dry and then water. And push your finger in 1 inch or so in a smaller pot. If it's not possible to push your finger into the soil, that soil might be too compacted and need some porous material, or the plant will be root bound and could benefit from being transplanted. Alternatively, lift the pot or plant when it's dry, and then again when it's wet. You may learn to feel the difference in it and know if it needs to have water added or not. Now, starting late in fall, hopefully last fall, water your houseplants sparingly. Water houseplants in unglazed clay pots more frequently because the clay is porous and it will absorb water from the soil and evaporate more of it. Now, it's a good thing to water plants with room temperature water. I've seen this happen in different households. Some of them run cold water right out of the deep well or whatever, and it's quite a shock. It's like you jumping into the polar bear dip type thing. Maybe not quite, but you know what I mean. It can certainly shock the plant. It's a good idea to use filtered water if your tap water contains high amounts of minerals or chemicals. And fluorine can cause the leaf tips of some houseplants, such as peace lilies, to turn brown. Always water until the excess water drains out of the holes at the bottom. And even plants that prefer dry soil should be watered this way, but just not as frequently. Water gently over the top of the soil, and avoid watering on the plant leaves or crown. A long spouted water can actually work the best. And if the water is not almost immediately absorbed by the soil, drainage in the pot might be poor, and mix a bit of perlite, vermiculite, or sand into the soil. For best results, remove and repot the plant in the amended soil, if possible. Watering from the bottom can also benefit plants. Set a plant pot that has holes in the bottom on a saucer or a large pan and pour water into the saucer about an inch deep. Add more water as necessary until the surface of the soil in the pot is moist. Remove the plant from the saucer or pan and set it aside to let the excess moisture run out. Now, we have wooden floors in our house, and they don't take to the water that I drip all over them too well. So I do have some very large pans that the plants sit on so that they're not draining all over the place. If the soil is exceptionally dry, water may not be absorbed, but instead flow rapidly down the sides of the pot and into the catch basin or saucer, and there'll be no moisture received by the plant's roots. If this happens, submerge the whole plant in a deep sink or a pail full of water until the air bubbles stop being released. This is Nancy Thompson from Bracebridge Horticultural Society, wishing you a great Muskoka day. Bye-bye for now.